Welcome back, everybody. I'm Bob Lovell. This is Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Coming up, top of the hour scoreboard update. Catch you up on what's happening in the world of basketball in our state. The man himself, the star of the show, it's Eddie Garrison.
Thank you, Coach. It's a pleasure to be with you, Elijah, and James Adams here this evening in downtown Indianapolis. Big Ten championship game going on. Purdue threatened to score. They get down within the 10-yard line at the 8. Third and goal. Aiden O'Connell gets sacked, and then an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty makes it now fourth and goal from the Michigan 26. And they have to kick a field goal, so it's now 28-16, 3:53 to go in quarter number 3. O'Connell threw his first interception between our last scoreboard update and the game. He's now 24-30, 252 yards passing. Charlie Jones, 9 receptions, 110 yards receiving. J.J. McCarthy, quarterback for the Wolverines, 9 of 13, 134 yards and a pair of touchdowns. Tomorrow, the Indianapolis Colts are on primetime television. That is Sunday Night Football. They have lost 4 of their last 5 games, and they have lost 2 in a row. They've lost to the Eagles and the Steelers by a combined 8 points at Lucas Oil Stadium. And now they go to Dallas to take on the Cowboys, who are 8-3, and they are 10.5-point favorites. They will be without their right tackle and Braden Smith, and they will be without Kenny Moore, which are two big losses for the Indianapolis Colts because of that pass rush. First of all, on the offensive line with the loss of Braden Smith, here's Jeff Saturday regarding the Dallas pass rush heading into tomorrow's game.
Listen, both lines were extremely good. I would say Dallas, from a pass rush perspective, brings more challenges because it was 4 or 5 of the guys. Now it's 10 of 13. I mean, these guys are getting sacks at an alarming rate. They get ahead, and it is a track meet. You're in trouble, and I think everybody understands what that looks like. I don't care who you are, how good you are, offensive line wise. This is a very good group.
At Dallas, defense ranks first in the NFL in pressure percentage on quarterbacks at 30%. Micah Parsons leads the team in sacks with a dozen, and Jonathan Taylor says they have to account for number 11 along with the other Dallas game breakers.
We got to account for 11. That's first and foremost. Like, he's a dynamic playmaker. He's one of those guys you just need to know where he's at on the field at all times. But on top of that, like you mentioned, they have other playmakers and other game records as well. So it's really going to be just a full radar of everyone needs to be locked in their assignment. It can't be one false slip. There can't be one crack inside of the ball at all.
The other two defensive ends for the Dallas Cowboys, Dorrance Armstrong has 8 sacks and DeMarcus Lawrence has 6. Their leading receiver, CeeDee Lamb, 857 yards receiving on the season. He operates primarily out of the slot. He also leads the Cowboys with 5 receiving touchdowns. Dak Prescott will be the quarterback for the Cowboys, and they have yet to rule anybody out ahead of tomorrow night's matchup. 8:20 kick. Can watch it on NBC, and the pregame coverage on the Colts radio network will start at 7:20. Some high school basketball scores. Men or boys basketball, North Davies Evansville Christian, they go into double overtime, and the margin of victory is still 1 point. North Davies with the win tonight over Evansville Central, 67-66. North Putnam and Edgewood also go into overtime, and North Putnam picks up a win on a three-pointer. 57-54 was the final score. Northridge and Valparaiso, another close game in the 50s, 53-51. And Northridge defeats Valparaiso. Norwell hangs up 76 in their win over Oak Hill. Penn and Crown Point play today, and Crown Point falls to Penn 70-49. And Peru defeats Knox 62-54. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back. Glad you could join us. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Eddie Garrison doing the heavy lifting tonight. Eddie, how are you tonight?
Doing well, Coach. How are you?
So, give me the rundown on Purdue. They're close, but they've battled, and they've just, the problem is you keep battling and battling, and you don't have enough. you know?
Yeah, there's 52 seconds left here in the third quarter, and J.J. McCarthy just threw an interception after the field goal. So now Purdue has the ball back. They're down 12. This has to be a pivotal point right here in the game because you're about to enter the fourth quarter. If you can come away with a touchdown, you get that two-point conversion. Next thing you know, you're right back in it at a one-possession game.
Yeah, wow. You know what? Most people talking about this wouldn't be that close a game. The odds makers didn't see it that way either.
No.
And I understand the moral victory concept, and I fully understand it. But you look at what Jeff Brohm's done as a coach, and what his teams have done against higher ranked teams. You got a chance. You're playing for a championship. You know what I mean? You got a chance, and I'm not at all surprised that it's played out this way, to be honest.
I'm not either. When you look at how Purdue's fared over the season, those teams that like to run the ball first, they've been able to hold their own, but Michigan has been able to run the ball here so far in the second half. But when you're facing a Michigan team and they just pretty much have to win to lock up that second spot in the college football playoff, Purdue's playing for nothing other than a championship game. And Aiden O'Connell is 4-1 as a starter against ranked teams in the top five. He's been exceptional again tonight, 25 of 32. He has one interception. But other than that, this Purdue offense has been able to get some yards. They just have not been able to convert when they get down in that red zone area into touchdowns because they've kicked three field goals. So that's, 9 of 21. So you've left 12 points on the board. Could be a tie game here at 28-28.
Yeah, and you know what? Everybody knows it. You know, it literally goes without saying. You cannot leave points. You can't, especially when you're playing a team that's better than you are. So there's that. All right, David Deaton with me from WKLO. David Deaton, I apologize for you being on hold this long. You should know by now that I'm not to be trusted. What game do you have tonight?
We kind of doing a little bit of, I guess you could say broadcast moonlighting on the side with Orleans this season on our sister station, WSEZ in Paoli.
Oh, man, you had one of the best games in the state tonight, did you not?
Yeah, we had a good one tonight at the Doghouse in Orleans. We had two Class A contenders there, Bar Reeve, 1-1 coming in, number 3 in Class A in this week's poll, and then Orleans receiving votes in the poll this week. The Bulldogs just played at Springs Valley last night and won 61-48, so we got to see them against the Bar Reeve Vikings tonight, and the Bulldogs able to pull away to win 54-46 to get their first win over Bar Reeve for the first time since December 26th of 2014. Ended a 9-game losing streak to the Vikings and a six-game losing streak at the Doghouse as well. Bar Reeve hadn't lost to Orleans in Orleans since 2010 tonight.
That is an impressive win for Tom Bradley and his guys. How impressive is that?
Oh, it was impressive. What a great atmosphere, too. Great crowd. A lot of people from Bar Reeve making the drive down to Orleans tonight, and the Orleans crowd was fantastic as well. Had a great band playing tonight there, the Orleans student section next to them. It was just a great atmosphere. Kind of felt like a sectional-type atmosphere tonight at Orleans, and the Bulldogs just came out firing. Five of their first six shots they made, Coach, were three-point baskets.
Wow.
In the first quarter of play, they just came out knocking down shots left and right. They were 9 out of 13 from behind the three-point line in the first half alone at 69%. They finished 12 of 18 shooting from behind the three-point line tonight. And it was some unlikely suspects like Blake Love, who was a 6'4 senior forward. He only had 8 points in the first two games. He bursts out with 18 points tonight. And he made four trays for the Bulldogs tonight. And then Rylan Crocker, a 5'11 sophomore off the bench who had 14 points in the first two games combined, makes 5 out of 7 from three-point range. He had 19 tonight to lead the Bulldogs in scoring off the bench. So those guys got it going. They had an 18-point lead, Orleans did, in the third quarter. But as with any Bar Reeve team, you never count them out. They came back. They whittled the lead all the way down to 4 in the fourth quarter, but Orleans got a big basket that allowed them to keep their distance from the Vikings, made just enough free throws down the stretch. And for a Bar Reeve team that's as young as they are under Josh Thompson, this team is getting better fast. Braden Knepp led the Vikings with 18 points, 8 in the fourth quarter. So this is a good matchup tonight and a good win for this Bulldog team against a team that they could see again later on in the sectional, and as they're both part of Sectional 63 in Class A.
You do, in fact, have the best job out there. Can you hang on for a second or two?
Yeah, sure. I can do that.
All right, great. We'll come back, talk more basketball with David Deaton from WKLO. He has the Orleans-Bar-Reeve game. Orleans wins this one tonight. We're back after the scoreboard update on Indiana Sports Talk.
With this Indiana Sports Talk scoreboard update, I'm Eddie Garrison. The Purdue Boilermakers are in the red zone. They are down 12 to the Michigan Wolverines. 28-16 is the score. So far, Purdue has converted one of their three chances in the red zone. Two field goals and a touchdown. Devin Maccabee had a one-yard rushing touchdown in the first quarter. Other than that, it has been three field goals. The yardage, 33, 45, and 43 yards. Now, third down inside the red zone for the Boilermakers, Charlie Jones. 10 receptions, 117 yards. He has been sensational once again for Aiden O'Connell, who has surpassed the 300-yard plateau through the air. 28 of 37 for AOC. 13:40 to go in the fourth quarter. Some other college basketball scores today. An upset from Piscataway from the rack. The Rutgers Scarlet Knights, 63. The Indiana Hoosiers, 48. IU led this game 37-35. And then Rutgers went on a 17-0 run. IU would be down by 15 points, and they would just never really recover. Rutgers, 63, IU, 48. Inside the numbers, Miller Kopp, 21 points, 5 of 9 from the three-point line. The rest of the team, 1 of 16 for IU. Trace Jackson-Davis, the only other player in double figures with 13 points. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back. David Eaton joins us on Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. He's from WKLO. He has the call of a great game. Western Indiana, the matchup, always, always good. Orleans wins this one, 56-49. All right, David Deaton, normally you're with North Harrison and that part of the state, but you get a chance to go out, as you mentioned, moonlighting. Great game. So both teams lock you up defensively. This had to feel like a sectional semifinal or sectional championship game tonight, did it not?
Yeah, it was definitely that kind of atmosphere tonight, and it didn't feel like it as much in the first half with Orleans knocking down shots right as well as they did, of course. I mean, they were 12 of 19 from the field overall in the first half, and Bar-Reeve was trying to find their footing offensively. They were only 8 of 21 shooting in the first half, but when the Vikings made the adjustments at halftime, I mean, they were down 33 to 20 at halftime, and they've got a younger team this year. There's only one senior on this Viking team under Josh Thompson, and he comes off the bench, and Carson Boyd. So their starting five are a lot of young guys, some guys that are getting their first real varsity experience this year because they've been playing behind so many great players over the past few years, including that state championship team a couple of years ago. But once this Bar-Reeve team found their footing on the defensive end, Orleans kind of slowed things down and kind of started to lose their rhythm a little bit because Bar-Reeve started coming after them some defensively. Mm-hmm. And the Vikings were able to work their way back into it because of their defensive effort. That was really what got them back in it, was because they started really buckling down more on the defensive end. They were able to get the lead down to four. And, I mean, it was just a great game. And Orleans was able to keep it away from them largely at the end, forcing Bar-Reeve to foul them and eventually put Orleans on the line. They're able to knock down enough free throws down the stretch, and it was just a really good win for this Orleans team early in the season to start 3-0 for Tom Bradley and his team, with a lot of guys who have been through a lot through their freshman and sophomore years. And last year they had a good team, went 17-8, and this year they have high expectations. And this team, he told me before the game, he said, you know, this is a team that we expect to get better and better as the season goes along. These guys know what the expectations are, and we expect them to carry that out. And they were able to do that tonight in this game against this very good Bar-Reeve team.
Yeah, he felt like he had a really solid group last year. I mean, that team won a lot of games, and he felt like he could make a deep run, and he can coach them up now. He is really, really good at it, and that's why this is such a tremendous matchup. All right, David Deaton, what game do you have next week? What's happening?
All right, so next Friday, we will actually be back with the Bulldogs. We're heading to Northeast Dubois with them next Friday on our sister station, 98.7 WSEZ. And then next Saturday, we've got the Corydon Central Panthers. We'll be back on WKLO next Saturday with them. Evansville Memorial is coming to Corydon next Saturday. So I think we're going to have two good matchups. Got a good rivalry matchup between Orleans and Northeast Dubois Friday. And then Saturday, got a Corydon Central team that's a very confident bunch after beating their county and conference rival North Harrison last night. And they'll get a very good Evansville Memorial team next Saturday, and a team that can shoot the ball as well as anybody down in that part of the state. And so it should be a good weekend for us next weekend.
David Deaton, thanks so much for your time. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. You as well, Coach.
Brent Dalrymple joins me, the head coach at North Davies, the defending 1A champs. Great game tonight. Double overtime win by North Davies over Evansville Christian. 67-66, the final. Coach, thanks so much for taking time to call me, and congratulations on the win.
Yes, sir. Glad to talk to you. New season, new year.
Right.
You know, we're just getting after it here at the beginning of the year, and I wanted to call in and talk to you a little bit about our game. It was, as you can see by the score, it was a heck
right?
of a game. It was the same type of game that the score indicates. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah, but I'm sure you've gone through this with your guys and everybody involved. When you are the state champions, and even though you're changing classification, you're still a champion, and everybody's going to come at you with everything they have, and you know that. I mean, you can say it and know it, but still, until when the pace of the game picks up, people like Evans, listen, Christian's a good team, and you knew they were going to come at you hard tonight.
Well, we went in overtime with them last year as well, and won in overtime last year. They basically have everyone back on their team. Obviously we have a whole bunch back on our team, but Josiah Dunham, he had 31 points tonight and probably had 17 or 18 in the fourth quarter overtime. Just unbelievable player for them, and they got a lot of pieces to go with it. I would put Evansville Christian as a top five team in 1A this year right now.
That's high praise coming from a guy like you. So,
So
how do you win this game? Tell me how you do this.
Well, we were up. We were actually up 10 or 12 midway through the third quarter. And we uncharacteristically had three straight turnovers, tried to do a little too much, and we paid for it on all three, and they cut that lead from 12 to 5 or 6, and it was literally back and forth the whole way. They took a lead up 2 with about 20 seconds left in regulation, and Jalen Mullen, who I'm sure you remember from the state finals last year. He took it to the rim and tied us to put us in OT. And he had 28 tonight. Dunham had 31. We're committed to being a different team than we were last year. We know we got to get up and down the floor, and we got to score some points because you're not always going to be able to guard some of these guys. And
right.
Dunham was for sure that guy tonight. And we know some of these 3A teams in the state tournament. We're getting ready to play one next week at Beech Grove. We know there's going to be kids that are just so hard to stop that we got to score more points. And that's what we're trying to do. And boy, it's a lot of fun. It's probably a top five game in my career tonight.
Really? Yeah. Well, you know what? We've talked about the
amount of times we have scored over 67 points in a game. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, I've always wanted to play this way, but you got to have the horses to do it.
We certainly feel like to do so. Well, you and I have talked about this at length before, and um, And I applaud the move. I think it's a courageous one, but I also think that, you know, it's one that's well thought out and well justified. And I was a coach who liked to see my teams were accused by many people of never guarding anybody. I don't think that was accurate. You don't win the number of games we won by not defending. But right. I was always, my whole philosophy was I want to take advantage wherever I can. So if I can get a 1-on-0, 2-on-1, 3-on-2, all that, I'm going to take it. And I have no problem. It was different because I recruited guys who could shoot the ball, and I had no problem turning them loose and look for early offense as much as we could. And, you know, that's a hard thing for some people to understand. So, yeah. But it takes a while. It takes a while for you as a coach to accept some things you normally wouldn't up to this point.
You got that right. We've given, you know, we're trying to trap and press and do that a little bit. Not all the time, but way more right. than we ever have. And some of the shots we've given up uncontested, it's like, yeah. Oh, my goodness. You're right. I've got to learn to handle it. And
you got
to
swallow it.
Yeah. Yep, you got to swallow it because you know you can go on the other end and put some points on the board yourself. So. You know, that's what we're trying yep. to do, and it's been a lot of fun, and we feel like we're right there where we need to be, and second week of the season.
Oh, it's going to be it'll be fun because you're just watching your teams grow. And look, with Jalen Mullins, you've got a guy who can run this thing and direct people and be your lead dog, so to speak.
Yeah, well, it's the reason we feel like we can compete because of him. And, we don't have to have a lot of sets or anything like that. He creates a lot right. of things for us and goes and gets his own as well. So, it starts with him. But Logan and Lance Wilson,
right,
6'6
right.
twins. And then Brendan Sickles, our 6'6 center in the middle. His brother Bones is now playing. Braden Sickles.
Hey, Brent. Yeah.
Update from Lucas Oil Stadium. Purdue forces Michigan to punt. So they get the ball back down 12. They're within their 10-yard line. And Aiden O'Connell throws a pick at the 16-yard line. And on the first play for Michigan, they throw an incomplete pass. So Michigan has it first down and 10. Now second down and 10 from Purdue's 16-yard line. Will Johnson with the second interception of Aiden O'Connell. He has both of the interceptions O'Connell has thrown. He's completed 28 of his 40 passes. He does not have any passing touchdowns. The only touchdown for Purdue, Devin Mockabee. It was a 1-yard rushing touchdown. Donovan Edwards for Michigan has been great in the second half. 19 carries, 154 yards, and one touchdown. J.J. McCarthy, he's 10 of 15 for 144 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. College basketball scores. Indiana State, they improved to 8-1. They score 88 points in their win over the Miami, Ohio Redhawks. Four players in double figures. Big win for the Sycamores as their strong start to the season continues. Unfortunate for the Notre Dame Fighting Irish earlier this week. In the Big Ten ACC Challenge, the final Big Ten ACC Challenge, that is. They pick up a 70-52 win over Michigan State, but they lose tonight to Syracuse 62-61. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Welcome back to Indiana Sports Talk, everybody. We're glad you're with us. It's brought to you by Indiana Donor Network. Brent Dalrymple rejoins us. He's the head coach at North Davies. They are the defending champs in Senegal A. Tonight at a classic barn burner. I've been waiting all night to talk about that term, beating Christian in double overtime. You know, before we left, you were talking about change of style, and I've got to tell you that I would think that your kids, one of the reasons I like to play as wide open as we could is because I felt like I'd please my players more and be a little easier to recruit some people. But as I mentioned, the first thing you have to do as a coach is put your whistle in your pocket. And secondly, You've got to rethink everything you thought you knew about the game.
Oh man, I've been asking a lot of people, and you know, what can you expect as far as when you you're doing some pressing and trapping, because there's a certain amount of shots you're just going to give up, and
yeah, no question.
You've got to live with that to reap the benefits of what it does for you, which is get you more possessions and, you know, those types of things. So, it's definitely a learning experience for me, along with our kids. But like I said, it's been a lot of fun, and that's why you play the regular season. And we won't have to create the tempo next week as we go to Southport and play Beech Grove. I'm sure they'll take care of that just fine for us. So,
right.
You probably won't see us full court pressing Beech Grove. So.
But there's still times. That's the thing. I wanted to be able to coach a game that if I need to pick up a possession here and there, we can do it, you know, either full court, half court, a trap on an inbound, whatever, trap on a switch. Plenty of ways to do it. But all you're looking for is three or four times when you can get an extra possession might be the difference between a win and a loss, and it's still part of your arsenal. And I thought it was incredibly important to be able to do that.
Yep, that's exactly right. And again, we're kind of feeling our way through this here at the beginning. And, you know, it's a big, big, big level to step up to as far as athletic ability.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of putting us in and learning stuff. But you're exactly right. I mean, you're exactly right.
That
you can pick your times and get things done.
Brent Dalrymple. Nothing like having a coaching clinic here on the air. I kind of like this. This is good. Hey, well, good luck. Thanks for calling me. I appreciate it. Go ahead.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. You know, we're real excited about this year's team, and appreciate what you do. And I know a lot of people.
You're kind.
Including my mother, probably are listening to this. So, you know,
I hope I don't put them all to sleep. So
you do not.
Drive carefully. Drive carefully, everyone.
That's right. That's
Brent,
right.
Good luck next week, okay?
Hey, thanks, Coach. Talk to you later.
You're welcome. Thank you. My favorite, Brendan King, joins me. Hello, Brendan.
Hey, Coach. Speaking of driving safely, I'm actually cruising down I-65 right now, coming back from Chicago. I had a hockey broadcast tonight. But just to go off your point of driving safely, of course, as you know, last night I had a chance to MC a great Chicago Cubs charities event. And, you know, I brought along the South Bend Cubs Midwest League Championship Trophy. And I currently have our Midwest League Championship Trophy to my right in the passenger seat. It is thick, and it is cruising along with me. So we are driving safely.
I can imagine the conversation you two are having right now in the car.
We are reminiscing on what was a great night when we met for the first time. So it's
no, brother, you have to have a picture of this. Have you already taken the picture? Well, you got to have somebody take a picture of the two of you and the trophy in the car. You got to. Come on. Yeah, I'm not telling you something you don't already know.
I stopped by my parents' house just to say goodbye because they're up from Florida. And, you know, they'll stay in Chicago like Christmas or whatever. So I stop by, say hi to my parents on my way back down. And you better know that my mom came outside and took a picture. So we got it.
Outstanding. That's great. The bad news is my wife and I just canceled our trip to Naples today.
Oh, man.
My wife is, yeah you know, she's not feeling well. And so we just, you know, we decided, man, Florida will still be there. So, you know what I mean? Our daughter and son-in-law are coming back up here for Christmas. And so we decided, look, she's not feeling well. No need to get on a plane and infect other people. So that's our game plan. All right, your Notre Dame Irish We talked to Lynn Clark earlier tonight. We're talking about bowl games, where they might be. We know they're going to be somewhere. The question is whether it's going to be California or Florida or other parts of the U.S. So they'll be in a postseason game, which is the fun part.
That is the fun part. And, you know, it will be fun, Coach, because somebody's going to get an opportunity to be the starting quarterback because, of course, it was announced that Drew Pine is going to enter the transfer portal.
Right.
We'll head elsewhere. And I think, look, Coach, if you scripted this Notre Dame season after what happened to begin the year, you play well defensively against Ohio State, then you lay the egg against Marshall, and then you struggle against Stanford, but you get wins. Like, you know, you beat North Carolina, you beat Clemson. It's been a really funky first year under Marcus Freeman. And I guess just add to that list now with having to name a new starting quarterback. You know, if Tyler Buchner was healthy, I'm sure he would be the guy. I mean, hell, Drew Pine wouldn't even be starting probably if Tyler Buchner was healthy. But, again, somebody on that depth chart is going to get the opportunity of a lifetime to prove themselves. And I don't know who it's going to be. Notre Dame's quarterback depth chart, it's actually pretty deep with young guys. But you have to remember, too, that over the next couple of years, Coach, part of Brian Kelly's departure from South Bend and Marcus Freeman's arrival was that Kelly was recruiting some five-star quarterbacks on his way out. Well, Freeman picked up that recruiting, and then he signed the guys. One of them, his name is C.J. Carr, who is the son of former great Michigan coach Lloyd Carr.
Right.
And his father played at Michigan. So this is a kid that had two generations of Wolverines with him, and then he committed to Notre Dame. So that's for the future. But the present, of course, again, is somebody's going to get a chance to prove themselves right now. And I'm really excited because that's a good problem to have if you're Marcus Freeman about, look, somebody can prove themselves right now at quarterback, and then you have some talented kids coming in as well. That is a terrific problem to have. So we'll see what the announcement ends up being, but that Pine news is definitely significant.
It's significant, and it's also, to me, a surprise. I don't follow it as closely as you and others, but, you know, you're already a starting quarterback at Notre Dame, and you felt the need to leave.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just kind of trying to put myself in his shoes. Maybe he feels like when Tyler Buchner comes back healthy next year, Buchner would have equally as good a shot as him in playing the job.
Right.
So maybe somewhere that he knows he can start. Again, that's putting words in his mouth. I have zero clue. But whatever his decision ended up being because of, I would hope there's a lot of grateful people in South Bend right now because that record probably is a lot worse if Drew Pine does not step up to the table as he did.
No question at all. Brendan King joining us. All right. You are obviously a very important member of Indiana Sports Talk and also our flagship stations in Indianapolis. Colts on the road tomorrow night for Dallas. You know what? Before I ask this question, I'm up against it. I got about a minute here, so hang on, okay? Drive safely with your new pal, the trophy right next to you, and we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more, okay? Brendan King and I will talk a little bit more about the Colts. Colts tomorrow night taking on Dallas in, I think, another important ball game. Because right now, you know, you need some wins, and you need them in a hurry. Much more to come on Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.
Final scoreboard update on the night from Lucas Oil Stadium, the Big Ten Championship game. Purdue Boilermakers and the number 2 ranked Michigan Wolverines. Purdue kicks another field goal. They're down 2 scores, 36-22. Finneran has had a terrific game for Purdue. That's their kicker, yes. Field goals of 32, 27, 43, 45, and 33 yards. Too bad you can't play fantasy football with that kind of kicker, but get you some nice points. J.J. McCarthy, 11-71, 161 yards, 3 touchdowns and interception. Donovan Edwards from Michigan, 20 carries, 153 yards and 1 score. Aiden O'Connell has thrown 2 interceptions and 337 yards passing. He is 30 of 45. Devin Mockaby, 17 carries, 71 yards, and one rushing touchdown. Charlie Jones, 12 receptions, 144 yards. College basketball, Rutgers defeats Indiana 63-48. IU's first loss on the season and their first loss in Big Ten play. The Purdue-Fort Wayne Mastodons, they defeat the Oakland Golden Grizzlies 79-73. Butler Bulldogs pick a win over Tennessee Tech 80-66. Ball State falls on a buzzer beater to the Duquesne Dukes 78-77. Indiana State Sycamores defeat the Miami Ohio Redhawks 88-61. And the Notre Dame Fighting Irish fall to the Syracuse Orange 62-61. For Network Indiana Sports, I'm Eddie Garrison.
Way to go, Eddie Garrison. Great job tonight. Eddie Garrison, scoreboard update, Minister of Information, Secretary of Scores. Well done. Brendan King rejoins us. Brendan King, Colts and Dallas. I'm looking at the Colts schedule earlier today, and I'm wondering, wins are not going to be easy to come by with what they have left on this schedule.
Well, you're right, Coach, and that's exactly why getting off to the brutal start with the tie in Houston and the shutout in Jacksonville was so demoralizing to the fan base, because of course those are two division games to start the year, and then you look at what's still to come and you're like, oh my god, we got to play back-to-back primetime games Monday night against Pittsburgh and then turn around into a night against Dallas, and then you got to still play the Chargers at home the day after Christmas. I mean, Coach, I'm having nightmares if I see that schedule, and it's my job to figure out how to win those games.
Right.
But I mean, even more so for Jeff Saturday taking over. I mean, Coach, the spots that he's been put in, I mean, getting his first W in Vegas in a really tough environment to play, really rowdy. And then, you know, he's had a couple heartbreakers since that point. This past week was the timeout fiasco in Pittsburgh, which was probably on Saturday at the end of the day. And then now, your head coach had to turn your guys around 6 days later and play on the road in Jerry World against a team that's just really starting to come into their own, I think, because Dak Prescott has only been healthy for a short while this year.
Right.
CeeDee Lamb has probably been and Tony Pollard has been the two constants of that offense. Ezekiel Elliott's not the bell cow anymore, but it's a really nice complimentary backfield of Elliott and Tony Pollard. And we haven't even talked about the Dallas defense yet. That is just killing people with how they have played this year. And, you know, you got to now expect Matt Ryan to go in there and perform, something he has not been able to do against this so far this year. Dan Quinn's running that offense really well. You got to imagine he'll have a chance to be another head coach, get his second job. He's the head coach in Atlanta now. Maybe after this year he'll be a head coach elsewhere. Regardless, Coach, I'm actually pretty concerned about the defense, because Kenny Moore's already been ruled out, so that's one corner down. Isaiah Rogers is questionable, that's another corner. So Stephon Gilmore is going to have to play better than he already usually does. So without Kenny Moore and maybe without Isaiah Rogers, Dak Prescott might be having a field day with the Colts corners. We'll have to see.
Yikes. Yeah, Coach Saturday, you know, he got a hall pass from the media to start with, and you do is you screw up one time out, and now, you found out very quickly how quickly they can turn on you. So it will be interesting to see how they respond. Tough place, as you pointed out, and they're playing a really, really good team. And then, again, it's not just Dallas. This thing doesn't get any easier from there.
No, and as mentioned, again, you have the Chargers to look forward to the day after Christmas. I mean, your last division game, that's still looming in January, and right now it looks like that division game won't even matter.
But it's made pace. I mean, coach, monkey moments.
With the Colts on prime time this year, if you look back at that Denver game, and, you know, Matt Ryan's going to get the – it is a little disappointing, too, if Jelani Woods can't play. He's questionable. And Jelani Woods, the rookie tight end, he was your leading receiver last week on Monday Night Football, and – it seems like him and Ryan have some sort of camaraderie. They have some more chemistry than maybe Sam Ellinger and the tight ends did. So, you know, you take away a guy that already has chemistry with Matt Ryan, and there's not a whole lot of chemistry to pass around. So hopefully Jelani Woods can play, because he was really, really good on Monday.
Brendan King on the road back with the trophy the South Bend Cubs acquired earlier in the year. Brendan, be safe. Thanks so much for your time. Have a great weekend.
All right, Coach. Thanks, you too.
Thank you. Final break, some final thoughts. This is Indiana Sports Talk. Welcome back. This is Indiana Sports Talk, brought to you by Indiana Donor Network, driven the number 2, savelives.org. Sign up today, help lives in the future. Anyone can sign up. No age limits, no health restrictions to sign up to be an organ donor. Every 10 minutes, someone is added to the donor transplant waiting list. There are more than 1,000 Hoosiers waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. And by signing up to be an organ and tissue donor, you can help save 8 lives and heal 75 others. Once again, their website, driven, the number 2, savelives.org. It's been a fun night with Eddie Garrison, James Adams, and Elijah. Just getting into the mix of great basketball around the state tonight in high school basketball. Tremendous event out in Brownsburg tonight or today and yesterday out in Danville. Love the one-day shootouts. They're fantastic. Congratulations to everybody involved with that. Tough day in college basketball for some. Rutgers over IU, 63-48. Ball State drops one at the end. Duquesne hits a 3 at the horn to win 78-77. Indiana State rolling, 88-61 winners over Miami of Ohio. Butler, 80-66 winners over Tennessee Tech. The Mastodons at Fort Wayne, 79-73 winners. Tomorrow, Minnesota is at Purdue, University of Evansville at Northern Iowa, USI at Chicago State, Murray State at Valpo. So you got basketball, and I always encourage everybody, get out and support your team and your student athletes and help them out and support them in any way you can. Don't forget to join us next Friday and Saturday night as we continue to roll along into basketball. And frankly, it won't be long before we are talking about tournaments. So, you know, it's fun. It's a fun time of year. And we're glad that you listen to our show. So we had some really, really great games around the state tonight. And same thing will continue next week. Coming up tomorrow night, as we talked with Brendan King about, be a fun matchup tomorrow night with the Colts taking on Dallas. College basketball tonight, Milwaukee beats IUPUI 74-61. Jags struggling to get started. They'll play Monday at Green Bay, so they've got the Saturday-Monday turnaround. They'll be at Green Bay in Horizon League play. I'll be back in action at home on Monday the 12th, taking on Spalding University out of Kentucky. So watch the Colts tomorrow. Hopefully they can put together some offense in this matchup and try and slow down that high-powered Dallas offense. My thanks to, again, James Adams, Eddie Garrison. Thanks to our great stations around the state that bring you the show every Friday and Saturday night. And thanks to all of you for making us the most listened to sports talk show in our state's history. It is the history. It is the legendary Network Indiana's Indiana Sports Talk.